that which is highly esteemed among men is had in abomination with God. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 456. It is April 26, 2016. Today, Christian and Faithful continue sharing their experience on the road to the Celestial City and are joined by others, as we'll see later on. This is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. But did you not see the house that stood there on the top of that hill, on the side of which Moses met you? Yes, and the lions too, before I came at it. But for the lions, I think they were asleep, for it was about noon. Because I had so much of the day before me, I passed by the porter and came down the hill. He told me, indeed, that he saw you go by. But I wish you had called at the house, for they would have showed you so many rarities that you would scarce have forgot them to the day of your death. But pray tell me, did you meet nobody in the Valley of Humility? Yes, I met with one Discontent, who would willingly have persuaded me to go back again with him. His reason was for that the valley was altogether without honor. He told me, moreover, that there to go was the way to disobey all my friends, as pride, arrogancy, self-conceit, worldly glory, with others who, he knew, as he said, would be very much offended if I made such a fool of myself as to wade through this valley. Well, how did you answer him? I told him that although all those that he named might claim kindred of me, and that rightly, for indeed they were my relations, according to the flesh, yet since I became a pilgrim, they've disowned me, as I have also rejected them. And therefore they were to me now no more than if they had never been of my lineage. I told him, moreover, that as to this valley, he had quite misrepresented the thing, for before honor is humility, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Therefore I said, I'd rather go through this valley to the honor that was so accounted by the wisest, than choose that which he esteemed most worthy our affections. Met you with nothing else in that valley? Oh, yes, I met with shame. But of all the men that I met with in my pilgrimage, he, I think, bears the wrong name. The other would be said nay after a little argumentation and somewhat else. But this bold-faced shame it would never have done. Why? What did he say to you? What? Why, he objected against religion itself. He said 'twas a pitiful, low, sneaking business for a man to mind religion. He said that a tender conscience was an unmanly thing, and that for a man to watch over his words and ways, so as to tie up himself from that hectoring liberty that the brave spirits of the times accustomed themselves unto, would make him the ridicule of the times. He objected also that but few of the mighty, rich, or wise were ever of my opinion, nor any of them, neither, before they were persuaded to be fools, and to be of a voluntary fondness to venture the loss of all, for nobody else knows what. He moreover objected the base and low estate and condition of those that were chiefly the pilgrims of the times in which they lived, also their ignorance and want of understanding in all natural science. Yea, he did hold me to it at that rate also about a great many more things than here I relate, as that it was a shame to sit whining and mourning under a sermon, and a shame to come sighing and groaning home, that it was a shame to ask my neighbor forgiveness for petty faults, or to make restitution where I have taken from any. He said also that religion that made a man grow strange to the great, because of a few vices which he called by finer names, and made him own and respect the base, because of the same religious fraternity. And is not this, said he, a shame? And what did you say to him? Say? I could not tell what to say at first. Yea, he put me so to it that my blood came up in my face. Even this shame fetched it up, and had almost beat me quite off. But at last I began to consider that that which is highly esteemed among men is had in abomination with God. And I thought again, this shame tells me what men are, but it tells me nothing what God or the Word of God is. And I thought, moreover, that at the day of doom we shall not be doomed to death or life, according to the hectoring spirits of the world, but according to the wisdom and law of the highest. Therefore thought I, what God says is best, though all the men in the world are against it. Seeing then that God prefers his religion, seeing God prefers a tender conscience, seeing that they that make themselves fools for the kingdom of heaven are wisest, and that the poor man that loveth Christ is richer than the greatest man in the world that hates him, shame, depart. Thou art an enemy to my salvation. Shall I entertain thee against my sovereign Lord? How then shall I look him in the face at his coming? Should I now be ashamed of his ways and servants? How can I expect the blessing? But indeed this shame was a bold villain. I could scarce shake him out of my company. Yea, he would be haunting of me, and continually whispering me in the ear with some one or other of the infirmities that attend religion. But at last I told him, it was but in vain to attempt further in this business. For those things that he disdained, in those did I see most glory. And so at last I got past this importunate one, and when I had shaken him off, then I began to sing, the trials that those men do meet withal, that are obedient to the heavenly call, are manifold and suited to the flesh, and come, and come, and come again afresh, that now or sometime else we by them may be taken, overcome, and cast away. Oh, let the pilgrims then be vigilant, and quit themselves like men. I am glad, my brother, that thou didst withstand this villain so bravely, for of all, as thou sayest, I think he has the wrong name. For he is so bold as to follow us in the streets and to attempt to put us to shame before all men, that is, to make us ashamed of that which is good. But if he was not himself audacious, he would never attempt to do as he does. But let us still resist him, for notwithstanding all his bravados, he promoteth the fool and none else. The wise shall inherit glory, said Solomon, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And I think we must cry to him for help against shame, and that would have us be valiant for truth upon the earth. You say true, but did you meet nobody else in that valley? No, not I, for I had sunshine all the rest of the way through that, and also through the valley of the shadow of death. That was well for you. I am sure it fared far otherwise with me. I had for a long season, as soon as almost I entered into that valley, a dreadful combat with that foul fiend Apollyon. Yea, I thought verily he would have killed me, especially when he got me down and crushed me under him, as if he would have crushed me to pieces. For as he threw me, my sword flew out of my hand. Nay, he told me he was sure of me. But I cried to God, and he heard me, and delivered me out of all my troubles. Then I entered into the valley of the shadow of death, and had no light for almost half the way through it. I thought I should have been killed there, over and over. But at last daybreak, and the sun rose, and I went through that which was behind with far more ease and quiet. Moreover, I saw in my dream, says Bunyan, that as they went on, faithful, as he chanced to look on one side, saw a man whose name was Talkative, walking at a distance beside them, for in this place there was room enough for them all to walk. He was a tall man, something more comely at a distance than at hand. To this man, Faithful addressed himself in this manner. "Friend, whither away? Are you going to the heavenly country?" "I am going to that same place."
"Well, that is well. Then I hope we may have your good company."
"With a very good will I will be your companion."
"Well, come on then, and let us go together.
And let us spend our time in discoursing of things that are profitable." "Ah, to talk of things that are good to me is very acceptable with you or with any other, and I am glad that I have met with those that incline to so good a work, for to speak the truth, there are but few that care thus to spend their time, as they are in their travels, but choose much rather to be speaking of things to no profit, and this hath been a trouble to me."
"That is indeed a thing to be lamented. For what things so worthy of the use of the tongue and mouth of men on earth as are the things of the God of heaven?
I like you wonderful well, for your sayings are full of conviction. And I will add, what thing is so pleasant and what so profitable as to talk of the things of God? What things so pleasant, that is, if a man hath any delight in things that are wonderful, for instance, if a man doth delight to talk of the history or the mystery of things, or if a man doth love to talk of miracles, wonders, or signs, where shall he find things recorded so delightful and so sweetly penned as in the Holy Scriptures?" Faithful says, "That's true, but to be profited by such things in our talk should be that which we design."
"That is just what I said, for to talk of such things is most profitable, for by so doing a man may get knowledge of many things, as of the vanity of earthly things, and the benefit of things above. Thus in general, but more particularly, by this a man who may learn the necessity of the new birth, the insufficiency of our works, the need of Christ's righteousness, and so on. Besides, by this a man may learn what is to repent, to believe, to pray, to suffer, or the like. By this also a man may learn what are the great promises and consolations of the gospel to his own comfort. Farther, by this a man may learn to refute false opinions, to vindicate the truth, and also to instruct the ignorant."
"All this is true, and glad I am to hear these things from you. Alas, the want of this is the cause that so few understand the need of faith and the necessity of a work of grace in their soul in order to eternal life, but ignorantly live in the works of the law by which a man can by no means obtain the kingdom of heaven."
But by your leave, heavenly knowledge of these is the gift of God. No man attaineth to them by human industry or only by the talk of them.
"Oh, all this I know well, yes, for a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. All is of grace, not of works. I could give you 100 scriptures for the confirmation of this."
"Well then," said Faithful, "what is that one thing that we shall at this time found our discourse upon?"
"What you will. I will talk of things heavenly or things earthly, things moral or things evangelical, things sacred or things profane, things past or things to come, things foreign or things at home, things more essential or things circumstantial, provided that all be done to our profit."
Now did Faithful begin to wonder, and stepping to Christian, for he walked all this while by himself, he said to him, but softly, "What a brave companion have we got. Surely this man will make a very excellent pilgrim." Christian said, he modestly smiled, actually, and said, "This man with whom you are so taken will beguile with this tongue of his 20 of them that know him not."
"Do you know him then?"
"Know him?
Yes, better than he knows himself."
"And pray, what is he?"
"His name is Talkative. He dwelleth in our town. I wonder that you should be a stranger to him, only I consider that our town is large."
"Well, whose son is he, and whereabout doth he dwell?"
"He is the son of one Saywell. He dwelt in Prating Row,
And he's known of all that are acquainted with him by the name of Talkative and Prating Row. And notwithstanding his fine tongue, he's but a sorry fellow. Well, he seems to be a very pretty man. That is, to them that have not a thorough acquaintance with him, Christian says. For he is best abroad. Near home he is ugly enough. Your saying that he is a pretty man brings to my mind what I have observed in the work of the painter, whose pictures show best at a distance, but very near, more unpleasing. But I'm ready to think you do but jest because you smiled. Christian says, God forbid that I should jest, though I smiled in this matter, or that I should accuse any falsely. I'll give you a further discovery of him. This man is for any company and for any talk, as he talketh now with you. So he will talk when he's on the ale bench. And the more drink he hath in his crown, the more of these things he hath in his mouth. Religion hath no place in his heart, or house, or conversation. All he hath lieth in his tongue, and his religion is to make a noise therewith. Say you so, then am I in this man greatly deceived. We'll leave it right there, says the clock. Well, Bunyan has a way of touching us, doesn't he? He knows the Christian life for sure. He knows the kind of people we meet, and he seems to know the kind of people we are at times. I hope you're taking it personally whenever possible. Thank you for being with me today. I want to remind you while you're at Sermon Audio here that my site features the works of great men of God besides Charles Spurgeon and John Bunyan. You'll see several other guys there, and also there will be regular North Korea updates on my site. The topics that I have written about through the years cover a wide range of Christian issues, and I hope that you will browse, check something out, and be profited by it. Remember where we began today in Luke 16:15. That which is highly esteemed among men is had in abomination with God.